Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
Perspectives. From Chandelier to the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation.
Allô, allô, ici station radiophonique de la ville de Lausanne. À l'occasion de l'inauguration officielle de l'émetteur du Chandelier, nous avons le plaisir de saluer les invités de la ville de Lausanne qui actuellement déjeune au beau rivage à Ouchy, et tout particulièrement les représentants des autorités fédérales, cantonales vaudoises, communales, et son Excellence l'ambassadeur de France à Berne et quelques amis français.
The story of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, SBC, began in 1922 when the City Council of Lausanne authorized the construction of a radio transmitter on the tiny airport called Chandelier. This transmitter was the third one in continental Europe.
Mr. Otto Pünter, former public relations officer of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation and the recreated sound of the inauguration of Switzerland's first broadcast station, Chandelier. That station near Lausanne was a result of the technology developed during the First World War. It was World War I which saw the development of the first electron tube, and the war was also the father of commercial and military aviation. Thanks to a group of far-sighted individuals, the Chandelier station was set up for the purpose of air navigation and communication, as you heard, one of the first in Europe. The operator of the station at that time was a company which is now called Radio Suisse, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. In addition to the Chandelier station in Lausanne, Radio Suisse was also going ahead with plans to construct transmitting and receiving stations for international communications. The birth of broadcasting in Switzerland came when the idea emerged that the simple transmission of weather information from Chandelier was a bit boring for the pilots. So, why not broadcast a little music and news as well? One man who remembers the early broadcasts from Chandelier is Hans Brechtbühler, who now lives in Bern. Mr. Brechtbühler, who, by the way, was the 13th radio amateur licensed in Switzerland, worked for a while as a technician at the Lausanne station. What were those early broadcasts like?
Oh, well, broadcast was in the early day limited. A lot of light music, especially reports and news, and especially light music. Light music, that was the program.
What frequency was Chandelier broadcasting on?
Only on long wave. Only on the long wave, that means about 1,000 meters.
Mr. Hans Brechtbühler. A rather curious thing in the development of early Swiss radio was the lack of government support. Unlike many other countries, the Swiss government tolerated radio experimentation, but was not willing to help its development in a financial way. I asked Mr. Harry Lett, the managing director of Radio Suisse, why this was.
Well, I think that in 1921 there were very few people who really believed in high-frequency transmissions, or in electronics, as we would properly call it today. That was a newfangled technique, and very few people, and particularly certainly not the government, was prepared to invest appreciable sums, about 2 million Swiss francs, to set a company and transmitter and receiving station on the air.
At one point in the early 20s, the Swiss postal authorities had such a negative attitude toward radio that they did a great deal to actually discourage experimentation. Here's Mr. Pinter.
We had, at that time in 1920, a Professor Eichhorn in Zurich who made experiences with radio. And when he asked for a license for a public demonstration, the PTT office refused it.
Nehmen Sie von mir die amtliche Erklärung an, dass wir das Radio in der Schweiz nicht aufkommen lassen werden.
Accept this as an official declaration that the Swiss postal authorities will not permit the development of radio to go any further in Switzerland. Your institute is therefore absolutely useless.
Regardless of the lack of governmental support, radio tinkerers and serious enterprising people continued to hold faith in the possibilities for radio development. Perhaps it was these people who made it possible for Switzerland to keep a high technical standard in comparison to other countries. Mr. Lett of Radio Suisse is convinced that Switzerland was always up to date in the new world of radio communication.
Switzerland, like very few countries during World War Number One, and we're talking the 1418 war, realized the importance of direct and delay-free communication, worldwide communication. We were at the mercy of both fighting camps during the 1418 war, and politically that was a very bad situation. Our newspapers particularly were worried of getting information at the right time and the right type of information. So they were about the only people and the only organizations in Switzerland who believed in our company. But to a much lesser extent, the government. The government thought that once peaceful conditions re-established, that there would be no requirement, no direct need for international communications, and that is the reason why they were rather reticent.
The rapid technical development of radio in Switzerland owes a lot to the early experimenters. They were called crazy and fanatics. It was they who built the first transmitters and receivers, designed the first antennas, and explored the then unknown world of megacycles and meters. One of these people is Heinrich Degler of Zurich, who became interested in radio back in 1922 and went on to become Switzerland's first licensed radio amateur, HB9A.
Mr. Degler, back in 1922, were there any courses or any schools where you could go to study radio and electronics in those days?
No, not for me. I don't know if it had something like this time.
So you were self-taught, in other words?
Yes, I self-taught, yes.
Mr. Degler, what would you say, in your early experience in radio technique, was the most important development in radio transmission techniques that you knew in those days?
Yes, in the old days, the most important development was the introduction of the tube, of the electronic tube. Because before the tube was coming, we could only transmit by Morse telegraph and could not modulate. And with undamped waves, we could modulate with voice and with music, perhaps.
And this made it possible for radio broadcasting to start.
Yes, it was possible also now doing broadcast for people.
By 1924, the Swiss government had already come to realize that radio was here to stay. Stations in many European countries were already on the air with regular broadcast schedules, and technical advancements had brought a great degree of transmitter and receiver reliability. It was time for Switzerland to get its broadcasting services organized. The Swiss Post Office, the PTT, was charged with collecting receiver license fees from the listening public, and local broadcasting organizations were started up. Mr. Pinter brings us up to date.
In 1924 was created the Radio Cooperative in Zurich, which had at its disposal the first transmitter on the Hünkerberg, exclusively used for broadcasting. In 1925 followed the Radio Cooperatives in Geneva and Bern, in 1926 in Basel, and latest in 1930 in Lugano and St. Gallen. The transmitters of these local societies had only a small coverage area. At that time, we could not speak of a national broadcasting system.
But nobody seemed to care. It was a new, exciting medium. Just think, music and talk coming right out of the air. Let's go back to 1925 and Radio Bern, our early local station here in the Swiss Federal Capital. The studios were located in the city, and the transmitter site was 10 kilometers away in a town called Münchenbuchsee, where Radio Suisse operated Bern's first transmitter. Hans Brechbühler was one of Radio Bern's first technicians.
It was very nice. After my study, I was in the studio in Bern, and from 25 to 1930, the technical installation was in Münchenbuchsee.
And what sort of a transmitter was that?
Oh, well, it was a very limited power, about 1 kilowatt, the first test, about four transmitting valves. And the antenna for broadcasting was only a small antenna, and so in certain region it was a very bad receiving condition.
Mr. Brechbühler, today in modern radio, for example, take SBC. We have our main transmitting center in Schwarzenburg, not too far from Bern, and our studios are in the city of Bern. And to get the program signal from the studios to the transmitter, we use telephone lines. How did you in the early days, in the mid-20s, for example, in Radio Bern, get the signal from the studios in Bern to the transmitter at Münchenbuchsee?
Yes, that was about the same as a normal telephone. It was not a special cable. It was a normal telephone cable, sometimes with a lot of noise on this line, sometimes very good. But it was a new invention in comparison with an old gramophone. It was good, huh? In comparison with the situation which we have today, it was very bad.
Wir treten nun also auf den Perron hinaus. Wir befinden uns nun mit unserem Mikrofon in der Bahnhofhalle auf dem Perron, wo der Zug von Eigegletscher jeden Moment eintreffen soll.
Neben mir steht Herr. How long did Radio Bern stay on the air each day?
Normally it was during tonight especially, and Saturday and Sunday more.
Mr. Brechbühler, at one point there was Radio Zurich and Radio Bern and Radio Lausanne and Radio Geneva, and there are probably others scattered around, little pirate stations here and there. Did you ever hear any of these?
Yes, yes. The program from Lausanne was very good. Huh? It was light music, musette, a lot of music from just about the same as from Paris.
Allô, allô, vous écoutez la station de TSF Radio Lausanne et son programme musical Musette.
Nous n'irons plus au bois, les lauriers sont coupés. La belle cœur, voilà, ira les ramasser.
Zurich was a well-known orchestra. Radio Zurich, well-known orchestra.
Zürich. Als nächstes spielt Ihnen unser Orchester die allerletzte musikalische Neuheit, Wenn der weiße Flieder wieder blüht.
Bern was more or less what we call Heimatschutz program sometime.
A very typically Swiss program with yodeling and things like that.
A real Swiss program.
Vom Radio Bern hörte jetzt das schöne Lied Berg Arve. Zjottel Doppel Quartett Pontonierfahrverein Borb Laufe singt jetzt grad Fönnis.
Der Stamm mit krummer Lächter steht der Arve.
So the program was not so bad, huh? It was not so bad. It was a new invention, and so it was very nice to hear radio. Huh? So the critic was not so high as today, you see.
Mr. Brechbühler, the people who you maybe knew at Radio Bern, for example, who made the programs, were they people who had any experience in making radio programs, or were they just people who were employed to do whatever they could?
Oh, I think it was not the same as today, huh?
Hallo, meine Damen und Herren, hier ist das Ziel, der Klausenrennpiste. Reportage vom Klausenrennen. Eine schwere Aufgabe. Natürlich können wir Ihnen ja nicht das ganze Rennen...
It was a proud man indeed who could say that he owned his own radio receiver. The whole world at his fingertips. But back in the 20s, you didn't just go down to the corner drugstore and buy a pocket-sized transistor. Just as not everybody today can be an astronaut, in the old days of radio, you usually had to have some knowledge of electronics to build your own receiver or have a small fortune at hand to buy one. What were the old receivers like, and what was the impact of the infant medium on the public? Mr. Brechbühler remembers it well.
Well, in the old time, especially in 23, 25, the normal receiver was a two or three valve receiver. And later, that was perhaps 24, we have got from the United States the first super heterodyne.
This is basically the type of receivers used today.
Yes, in principle.
When you went to a restaurant or went to a cafe or had people in your home or you went to visit, did people talk a lot about radio? Was this quite a sensation in those days, a thing to talk about?
Yes, perhaps about the same as many years later about television. Huh? It was a new invention, and so it was a new way to hear some news. Huh?
So everybody was happy. Good programs, good reception, and lots of good times. But it didn't stay like that for long. In the later 20s, the novelty had worn off. The public had enough of limited broadcast schedules. Local stations fought for listeners out of their areas, and there were questions about whether or not the local stations were effectively serving the needs of a multilingual, almost multicultural Swiss public. This was the turning point. There was a need for change and reorganization. These are the circumstances which led to the founding of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, SBC. Here's Otto Punter.
The local societies were at war between themselves. The financial basis was very small. The listener's fee collected by the post office was only 10 Swiss francs and distributed according to the number of listeners registered in each region. In 1926, the editors of newspapers protested against the broadcasting of news by the broadcasting stations. After long discussions, was concluded a gentleman's agreement that limited the news bulletins to only two a day, one at midday, the other in the evening. This limitation was in force till 1939, at the beginning of the Second World War. In 1926, too, it became necessary to establish cooperation between the local societies, and so was founded the Swiss Broadcasting Union, which organized the first commonly shared programs. But this cooperation did not satisfy the listeners. They asked for better and longer programs. In the beginning of 1928, the situation called for a more efficient organization of broadcasting in Switzerland. The general postmaster proposed to the Swiss government to build national transmitters with a wide coverage in each of the linguistical parts of the country. But these plans were not easy to realize. The local societies were very proud of their independence and autonomy. It went 2 years before an understanding could be reached. Then, on February 24, 1931, came the founding of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. all 7 local cooperatives became members of the new National Society, which received the only license from the Swiss government for broadcasting in Switzerland. When the SBC was founded in 1931, there were only 100,000 listeners registered, compared with nearly 2 million today. According to the license delivered by the government, the programs transmitted by the SBC must maintain and further the cultural values of the nation and should contribute to spiritual, moral, religious, civic, and artistic development. They must provide objective, full, and rapid information and satisfy the need for entertainment. Programs must serve the interests of the nation, strengthen national unity and harmony, and contribute to international understanding. The shortwave transmissions should serve to strengthen the bonds which link the Swiss abroad to their home country and should help to promote Switzerland's image in the world. On this basis started the SBC in 1931, and it remained much the same till now.
Swiss radio broadcasting started out as a local affair, and especially if you're in a country where there's local or even commercial broadcasting, it might seem strange that local broadcasting was not allowed to continue in Switzerland, even on a commercial basis. Mr. Pinter explains why this isn't possible in Switzerland.
The radio in Switzerland lived from the first hours by the licenses, the fee of the licenses only, and commercial systems were excluded from the beginning.
And why were the stations expanded into a national network in the SBC rather than being allowed to continue to operate on a local basis?
Now, that was impossible, you see. Radio waves, you can limit them on the cantonal frontiers. And Switzerland is a small country. We have now 2 million of listeners. And the fees are just enough to finance 3 programs. We have 6 programs, 2 in each language of the country.
The Swiss Broadcasting Corporation today. 6 radio programs, 3 TV programs, soon to be increased to 6, and us, the European and overseas services. It's a long way from the primitive transmitter at Chandelier to SBC's present-day partnership with the Swiss Post Office, which operates the hundreds of FM and color TV transmitters which carry our national programs.
Schweizer Radio, erstes Programm. Hören Sie nun die leichte Welle mit King Curtis.
From Chandelier to SBC. 50 years in the development of radio broadcasting in Switzerland. The program was produced and presented by Bob Zanotti. Technical producer was Kurt Bischoff. Thank you for listening.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.